please stand. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's great to be here with all of you today. It is a busy, crazy season out there. It's all the hustle and bustle, and it's getting hustlier and bustlier all the time, but it's good to be here. It's good to be in the sanctuary where the Lord gives us peace, and that's what our service is all about today. We are going to be following Divine Service 2 for the liturgy today. It starts on page 167. And we, of course, begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit on the inside cover of the bulletin. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, he is the Lord our God. He remembers his covenant forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, And for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. In place of the hymn of praise, we will sing our Advent hymn. We'll turn to hymn 332. We'll sing stanzas 3 and 4 of Savior of the Nations Come. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The first reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear forth. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal of the people, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Watchmen on the heights are
epistle reading for today comes from the book of Romans, beginning with the 15th chapter. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instructions, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to you to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it was said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who raises to rule the Gentiles. In him will all the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join in speaking the words of our faith. This morning, we will confess the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed on page 174. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn is 347, Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, which Kurt read for us earlier from Isaiah chapter 11. We hear this prophecy of Isaiah, and he is speaking of peace to the people of Jerusalem who feel and kind of look like just a dead stump, a stump of Jesse. And yet the Lord comes as a shoot that springs forth from that stump and ushers in all kinds of peace. We give thanks for the peace that the Lord brought to his people of old and the peace that he brings to us now. And we look forward so much to the peace that we will all experience on the last day. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I don't know if you would agree with it or not, but Hoyleton is not Mayberry. And I don't know if it ever was. Maybe some of you who have been here a lot longer than I have could kind of speak to that. Mayberry, of course, referring to the fictional small town from the Andy Griffith show. For the younger people in the room who don't know what I'm referring to, it was the home of Sheriff Andy Taylor, Aunt Bee, Opie, Deputy Barney Fife, Gomer Pyle, people like this. I looked this up, actually. Apparently, in the last episode ever of the Andy Griffith show, they finally revealed how big Mayberry was. Population 5,360. So I told you, Hoyleton is not Mayberry, right? Mayberry is like 10 times the size of Hoyleton. But I'm not really talking about the size of the town. I'm talking about more like what Mayberry stands for. That idyllic, small town, rural setting where nothing really big or important happens, or the things that do happen might be a big deal to its own citizens, but not really to the rest of the world. I mean, maybe you can see some comparisons between Hoyleton and Mayberry if you just think about it that way. If they made a TV show about Hoyleton, I could imagine a few episodes and what they might be about. Some big deals being made out of small things, stressing out about getting ready for the Hofbräufest, trying to figure out what are we going to do with all these out-of-towners that come in and eat crab legs at Kretzer's. I could just picture what these episodes would be. But the reason why I say Hoyleton is not Mayberry is a little bit more serious. For those of you who know the Andy Griffith show, you know, like, one of the hallmarks of that humor was the fact that the show was centered around law enforcement, but there really wasn't any high crime going on at all, right? Probably the most serious things that were ever going on were some, like, moonshining and bootlegging. Other than that, it's just Barney Fife losing his mind over traffic violations and parking tickets all the time. But here in Hoyleton, and I would add, especially in the year 2022, unfortunately, we can't say the same thing. Our awareness of danger is a lot higher than Mayberry. And I'm not trying to sound delusional. I understand we don't live in a crime-ridden area. I thank God every day that I get to raise my kids in a community like this one. But we still have access to the news. We still see terrible things that happen in places near and far, and we know that we're not exempt from it, right? We understand that bad things can happen in Hoyleton too. And so we take our, you know, proper actions that we can take to try to protect ourselves and our loved ones and try to mitigate that danger somehow. I think about how, like, in our school, our students and our faculty, we have active shooter drills even here in Hoyleton. Right? Think about how we lock our doors. We lock the doors of the buildings when they're not being used. We lock the office door during the school day. You got to have the super secret code to get in. And that just changed, by the way, and it's messing a whole bunch of people up. Right? We got to do these things, or at least we feel like we've got to do these things, because we understand that anything can happen, even in a place like good old Hoyleton, friendly, safe Hoyleton. So, with that in mind, I want to turn your attention again to the words from the Old Testament reading here. This passage, Isaiah chapter 11, is actually a pretty famous one, pretty popular reading, and I think it's because of a couple different reasons. One is, it's actually another one of these quotes from Isaiah that helps us to see Jesus so clearly. Sometimes Isaiah's prophecies are called the fifth gospel, because even though it's in the Old Testament, it's really up there with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in terms of how clearly you can see Jesus. And here you just got this image that burns into your mind, right? You got the dead stump, and you got the shoot that springs forth from that stump, and that shoot is Jesus. It's awesome. Then the other reason I think this passage is famous and memorable is because of the way that Isaiah then describes the peace that's going to come upon the people once that shoot springs forth. And you have all this talk about these ferocious animals here that are actually getting along with their prey. And they're not tearing them apart the way that you would expect them to. And then Isaiah is talking about a child leading these dangerous animals and just playing around a cobra's den. It's like crazy. You think about these things happening in our world and these red flags of danger just kind of pop up everywhere. So we can't even imagine what it would be like for this to even happen. But in Isaiah's prophecy, this is the difference. This is the real, very real difference that Jesus makes in our world when he comes into this world to reign over us and to rule over all of his creation. We get to actually experience some peace. I think it might be helpful to at least give you a little bit of the background context behind these verses so that it can help you to see why this would have been extra comforting to the people who originally heard what Isaiah was prophesying to them. I think most of us are familiar with this understanding that for the majority of the Old Testament history, we have all these historical books. So much of that time period that we read about in the Old Testament, the kingdom of Israel was actually split into two. So you had the kingdom of Judah with Jerusalem as its capital in the south. And then you had the kingdom of Israel with Samaria as its capital in the north. And the two were very, very separate from each other for a long time. And actually, by the time you get to these early chapters of Isaiah, not only are they separate from one another, but they're actually actively fighting against each other in sort of like a civil war. It's really awful. The northern kingdom of Israel had actually allied themselves with this group called the Syrians, and they were mounting an attack against the southern kingdom of Judah. Down in the south, you had the king whose name was Ahaz. And Ahaz wasn't really sure what he was supposed to do about all this, but he didn't listen to what the Lord wanted him to do, and he didn't listen to what Isaiah's advice was to him. He decided to go this other way, and he decided to align himself with another group of people called the Assyrians. So the Syrians and the Assyrians are different people. The Assyrians had their home base in the city of Damascus, and this whole thing just really didn't work out very well at all. The Assyrians did come in and eventually completely wipe out the northern kingdom entirely, but they didn't stop there because why would you expect them to? And then they set their sights on the southern kingdom and started terrorizing them there, and the whole thing was just a complete mess. So by the time you get to talking about all of this stuff, all that's left when it's said and done just kind of looks like a stump. A dead stump. The stump of Jesse, who is the father of King David, if you remember. That's where the name Jesse comes from in this passage. So one moral of the story could be, and is, that when you're faced with danger, if you decide to turn away from the Lord and turn away from what the Lord wants you to do, that's probably not going to work out very well for you. But there's a second, and I would argue even more important moral to this story as well. And it's a more comforting one, which is to say that even when the worst happens to you, so even when that thing happens that you're worried about, right, your worst fear, when it comes true, whatever that means for you, when you feel like you've been reduced to a stump, the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ still loves us, still reigns over us, brings us his peace, it means that we will eventually and eternally experience that peace with him. And it completely changes the way we think about whatever we happen to be going through right now or whatever danger we may be facing right now. Eventually, we do get to be as carefree as a person from Mayberry, like little Opie, carrying our little fishing pole and whistling by the pond in black and white in the opening theme song, right? Of course, eventually we get to do that. It sounds crazy when you think about what's going on in the world today. It sounds unfathomable. It sounds unimaginable. We are so on edge all the time. We are on high alert constantly because we understand all the threats in this world to our own existence. I was kind of laughing at myself the other day as I was sending Zach off to school. Here's a quick story for you, okay? So Zoe and Zach have had a recent disagreement. What else is new, right? But this time, it's about what time should we be going to school in the morning? So the two options are you can go early and take advantage of the school breakfast that we have that we start serving at 7:30. Or the fact that we live in the parsonage and we share a parking lot with the school, it means that maybe we could take advantage of that and stay home for as long as possible and just kind of waltz right on over right before the school day begins, right? So those are the two tensions. Zach wants to get up and go. He loves school breakfast. He wants to get there. Zoe, she wants to stay behind as long as possible. So recently, we decided to resolve this conflict by letting them go to school at different times. But on those days when Katie has to be at work early and I'm the only one there to help get the kids out the door, I can't be in two places at once. So that means I have to decide if I'm going to let Zach go early, I have to let him walk all the way over to the school in order to get his breakfast. And I got to tell you, there's a part of me that wants to just stand there in the garage and not take my eyes off him until he rounds that corner and I can't see him anymore. I know it's safe, and I know he's old enough, but anything can happen, right? And I think it's just sort of hardwired into us, right? We understand danger because we live in this broken world. Well, thanks be to God, the real difference that comes to us comes through what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. And that's really what this whole season of Advent is all about. It's to help us remember that all of this danger that we see, it's not going to be this way forever. Things are going to get better. We're going to be able to live completely carefree, especially once our Lord Jesus Christ returns and restores all things on the last day. So that's really what Isaiah is describing here with all of this talk about the animals. This is what a new world filled with God's peace is going to look like. The wolf is going to dwell with the lamb, and the cow and the bear are going to graze together. And you're probably wondering why I said that the title of the sermon is Vegan Lions and Pet Cobras. That's what it says. It says the lion is going to eat straw, right? Imagine a lion just, instead of eating meat, a lion's just kind of chomping on a kale salad like a giraffe or something, right? And then the pet cobras, little toddlers, just playing around and maybe even with a cobra. It's unfathomable, right? In our experience, that would be 100% impossible right now. But because of the glorious, righteous, peaceful reign of Jesus, because of the shoot that springs forth from the stump of Jesse, everything gets changed. And it's changed for you, it's changed for me. By destroying the power of sin and death and the devil through his own death and resurrection, we are able to look at this world with completely different eyes. There are fearful things in this world, absolutely. But we don't need to be afraid of them because we belong to the King. We belong to the King of Kings. There are serious dangers and crimes, wars and rumors of wars, much worse things than traffic tickets and moonshining. But you still have a great Mayberry promised to you. A kingdom of peace in heaven. Not quite a small town, but certainly a place where time as we know it will stop for all eternity. So let's look forward to that day. And may our prayer always be, come, Lord Jesus. In his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. do have some updates to the prayer list for you today. Under ongoing health needs, today we will include Ray Bailey. That would be the fiance of Alyssa Schnicker. He's been hospitalized and is undergoing some testing for liver issues. We're praying for good results for him and a clear path forward. Also hospitalized has been Verdell Krieger. She recently fell and hurt her leg, and so she's been hospitalized, and they're still making some decisions about what the next steps are for her. We give thanks and praise to God today for the confirmation of Imogen Silger. Imogen joined our church in a ceremony that took place at the nursing home in Carlisle this past week. So we give thanks to God for that. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you stir the hearts of your faithful to prepare us for the advent of your Son. We implore you, feed us continually with your word and sacraments as we look for his return. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, by the ministry of your holy church, prepare the way for your Son's return in glory. Send forth faithful pastors to proclaim your law and gospel. And grant hearers ears to listen and hearts to receive their words in faith. Bless the work of all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic and our sister congregation, Faith Lutheran in Mount Vernon. Lord, bless them during this time of vacancy. Help the members grow closer to you. And if it be your will, quickly lead them to the man you have chosen to be their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son rules over creation with justice and righteousness. Endow those in authority with the desire and ability to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and work for the common welfare. Bless all those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you preserved Jesse's faithful line by the incarnation of your Son. Give families and individuals strength to faithfully fulfill their vocations, to love and forgive one another, that we may be trained up in your fear, love, and trust. We give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us, and we especially rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Kathy, Daryl, Beth, Stella, David, Callie, Anne, and Ethan. Bless them mightily as they all continue to grow in their faith. We also rejoice today that you have led Imogen Silger to join our congregation through adult instruction and confirmation. Bless her as she regularly hears your word and receives your sacrament of the altar. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, as we await the day when the wolf will dwell alongside the lamb and pain and destruction are no more, grant us patience, comfort, and healing according to your will. Hear our prayers for all the sick, especially all who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Marlene, Thretta, Bill, Richard, Jim, Imogen, and Brian. Those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Ray, Daryl, Joan, Roy, Bobby, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Dorothy, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Shoei, Judy, Bill, all those who are fighting cancer. We also lift Verdell before your throne. She has been hospitalized with leg issues. We pray for healing for her. Lord, in your mercy, stir up our hearts, O Lord, and make ready the way of your only begotten Son, who comes to us this day in his true body and precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. May all who feast upon him do so in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant that we may be kept in joy and sustained in hope through every trouble and trial of this mortal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Please stand. We turn now to page 176 and we sing together the offertory. Now we continue with our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We now turn to page 181 and we sing the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Lord and let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We turn now to hymn 348 for the closing hymn, The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns. Good morning. It's a busy time of year. We have things going on. The first thing that's going to happen is right immediately after this. So a lot of you heard this either last week or heard the all call, but there is a special voters meeting taking place as soon as I get done talking, basically. We're going to have just one item on the agenda, and that is to decide whether or not we want to submit an application to receive a vicar for the 2023-2024 seminary academic year. The actual wording of the motion that the elders are bringing forward is in the bulletin today, and the last page of the bulletin has more information about finances and timeline and things like that. Let us know if you have any questions. We hope our voters can stick around for that brief meeting. You probably already noticed this as well, but on the table in the narthex, there are your envelopes for 2023. So please feel free to grab yours on your way out as you leave today. That'd be really helpful. Coming up, we've got men's choir rehearsing tonight, 6 o'clock. We've got chimes practicing tomorrow at 5. We've got mixed choir practicing on Wednesday. We're getting ready for our Christmas concert, which is going to be here soon. So we have one more regular midweek Advent service. We've been doing the colors of Christmas. We talked about red last Wednesday. We're going to talk about green this Wednesday. And then mark your calendar for Wednesday, December 14th. That will be the night of the Christmas concert. And all of our different musical ensembles will be singing their Christmas songs. So it's always a great night, and we hope you can join us for that. Again, that's on the 14th. Let's see, we have poinsettias coming. This coming Saturday, which would be December 10th, will be the day. If you have a poinsettia that you'd like to place up here on the altar, either in honor or in memory of someone that you love, this would be the Saturday coming up to do that. And we would love to know for our church bulletin who those names are that you're giving those poinsettias for. So please let us know. Give us a call in the office. Let Jane know. We'll have that printed then in the bulletin for the rest of the season. But that'll be 1 o'clock to drop off the poinsettias this coming Saturday. Also on Saturday, for youth, YPS are going to be gathering at 9 in the morning, and they're going to be assembling the Nativity Stable. So we do anticipate having a live Nativity this year again. So we need to put that stable together in my front yard. So this Saturday at 9 in the morning. Tuesday is the Ladies' Aid Christmas Party. The meal will be at 6 o'clock, and the program will begin at 7. That's all happening in the School Activity Center. So ladies, we hope you can join this Tuesday night. And I think that might be it. Did I miss anything? Okay, if not, then I anticipate a lot of you will be staying for the voters' assembly meeting, but for those of you who are not, I'll greet you in the back. Go in peace, serve the Lord, thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.